On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
What's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Redskins Talk the Podcast. Today, I am joined for the first time by Rob Carlin, who I think is my friend and I think will be awesome for this conversation. He is on TV every night with B. Mitch on Sports Talk Live. We also have B. Mitch here, who was a blast to do the podcast with last week, even if he just kept yelling about the Redskins needing to invest in the defense. Say what's up, fellas.
What's up, man?
Wrong.
It's the absolute truth. I mean, they have that problem.
Not wrong at all. So you inspired me to look at the numbers, and I don't know if you guys saw the article I wrote. The Skins are second to last in the NFL
they
in defensive
spent 30,
spending.
What, $6 million?
$36 million. They spent $76 million on the offensive side of the ball.
Yes.
More than 2-1.
And if they hadn't gotten Josh Norman,
right,
it would be in the 20s.
Right. They probably.
Expected Joe Barry.
Right. All right. We got bigger news to talk about today. Then we'll get to that stuff.
All right, we will.
Sean McVay is gone.
Yeah.
B. Mitch, your reaction?
Expected it like Rob did as well, but was shocked because I look at Sean, I see a great up-and-coming coach. I don't know if I see a great up-and-coming head coach and leader. Now, that's something you can learn, and the way you work that out, when he picks his staff, you will see how much help he's going to have. If he goes and gets a lot of people his age, his friends, he don't have problems. If he goes and get guys that are experienced at this league, like Phillips, if he can get him as his D coordinator, that means he doesn't have to worry about the defense. And now he can focus on offense. So I was shocked because of the age and inexperience, but you know you expect it. When he comes from that bloodline, that family, and you know you hear how people have been pushing him, I expected him to be there.
But you say inexperienced. I mean, he's been in the pros 8 years now. You know, I mean, he is very young, but he's been in football probably his whole life.
But I still, inexperience is this. When you're an offensive coordinator, normally on most football teams, you set the offense up.
True.
You do all of that. That's Jay Gruden's offense.
Right.
He didn't have all of that. That's what I'm saying.
My point was the day Jeff Fisher got fired. I came in that day.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so the Rams are in L.A.
You were way out in front of us.
Way out in front of us. They want Hollywood good looks, some Cali swag to them, a face of a franchise, an up-and-comer, someone that is an offensive guy who's going to work with Jared Goff.
Mm-hmm.
He checks every one of those boxes, and he's got the football acumen because his last name is McVay, and he's literally been groomed for this position his entire life. And if people don't know, he's the grandson of John McVay, who is most famous for building the Joe Montana 49ers dynasty as the GM of the Niners in San Francisco, but was also the head coach of the Giants for the famous Joe Pisarcik, Herm Edwards fumble.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been coaching. He played in college at Miami of Ohio. He's literally born to do this. And I think that, look, you can go through the history books of all the Lane Kiffins, the Raheem Morrises, the failed young coaches. But there's also Mike Tomlin, who was 34. There was Bill Cowher, who was 34.
Mm-hmm.
There was Don Shula, who I think was 32 or 33.
No, David.
No, Don Shula by the Baltimore Colts in the 60s.
Okay.
Was that
young?
Yes.
Wow.
And who got to a Super Bowl before he was 40. Didn't win it until he was in his 40s, but got to a Super Bowl before he was 40.
He lost to the Jets and
Joe
Namath.
Joe Namath, right. So it is Jay Gruden, or John Gruden was in his 30s.
Mm-hmm.
John Madden was in his young 30s. There's varying degrees of success. And if you tell me that today you can guarantee me that the Buffalo Bills are in better shape because they hired 42-year-old Sean McDermott
right.
than 31-year-old Sean McVay, it's all a crapshoot.
It's a crapshoot if you're looking at just their ages. But you look at Buffalo Bills.
John Harbaugh wasn't a coordinator.
Buffalo Bills has a defense. I'm not worried about the coordinator aspect.
He's a special team.
But they, right. especially, and yeah. that's dealing with most people on the team. Especially coordinator deals with more people than any.
But when the Ravens coach. Hired him, that was an underwhelming choice.
Sure. It was an underwhelming choice, but I think it was crazy for him to make him go be a linebacker coach from being a special team coach. But when I look at it, you talked about Cowher and also
Tomlin
right now.
Those are when very stable franchises.
When he walked in there, that was a stable franchise with a defense that had been good for years and a defensive coordinator who understood how to do things. They left a lot of stuff how it was. But Sean's not going to that same stability. So when you showed that list, we seen the list earlier today, most of those guys failed early on.
Yeah.
And some of them still failed. Some of them are gone. The two guys you named went to Super Bowls because they went with a great franchise.
Sure.
This and unfortunately, if something goes wrong, they blame the young guy. You have an owner now who's doing this for the first time. You're moving back to L.A., which we know is a lot of stuff going on in L.A. where you may not get enough fanfare, right. this, that, and the other. So it's like a lot of stuff going.
So I
like the fact that he's great. I think he's very good coach.
Get out ahead of it. They went outside the box and went for the young, right. up-and-coming guy.
And I think it helps him in a way that the expectations are going to be fairly low. There's not much fan interest until they get the new stadium.
That's not true.
All right. I think he can have them pretty good pretty quick. They've got a good defense. If he can get Jared Goff to be serviceable, which is really why they hired him, they looked and saw what he did with Kirk Cousins, and they're like, hey, come do that to this kid. I mean, that's...
Does Jared Goff have Deshaun Jackson, Pierre Garçon,
he's Jordan got Todd
Reed,
Gurley, and
Crowder.
They're going to sign somebody. I mean...
I'm just saying, it's a lot of things that he doesn't have.
I agree.
But that's why they gave him a 5-year deal. They know he's not walking into a loaded team.
Right.
So they're going to give him 2 to 3 years... You have to imagine. Now, look, you can make the argument they're going to give him 2 years until that new stadium is built, then they're going to bring in the big guns to get them there. But then they're on the hook for the rest of his contract.
Mm-hmm.
But they gave him
they got cash out in LA.
Right, but they gave him a reported 5 years
right.
on this deal.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to be going into this with the understanding of we've got a starting quarterback next year who's got, like, you know, a handful of starts in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
A running back who's totally mm-hmm. underutilized, a bad offensive line. No wide receivers, no tight end, mm-hmm. and a history of losing.
All right.
So you got
perfect,
time.
In a perfect world, that's how they would think. NFL.
Sure. But considering this is Redskins Talk, the podcast, let's spin this back to the Skins and away from the Rams.
Because someone on here just said, enough, he's gone, on Beamish's face.
Somebody Callahan.
Said, said, he's gone, let's move on. Also, right. someone said, how about Beamish for OC?
Hell no.
You want the coaching life?
I'm going to
get up at 5 a.m. and
2.5 minutes. Yeah, I will.
Hey, wait. They came to you right now. If Jay called you right now, phone rings right now, $2.5 million to be my OC.
You'd be doing the show by yourself tonight.
You do it? The mm-hmm. lifestyle?
Yeah. For $2.5 million, I learned to love the lifestyle.
Okay.
All right.
I don't believe it.
All right. The gauntlet has been thrown down in Redskins Park. If anybody's listening in Ashburn, B. Mitch is available.
Make the call.
The price has been
I've been getting
set.
Yelled at long enough. I can use a new co-host. JP, you want to
yeah,
just let's, talk
let's do it. I would happily take the bump to B. Mitch money and let him go get OC money.
I go to B. Mitch money. You go to RC money.
Right. It's all a building bridge. All right. Housekeeping we need to take care of. Evan Rubenstein, I'm saying hello to you. I hope I'm saying that right. Also, Rashad, I'm pretty sure that's the right name. We met in the Redskins Nation studio. I really appreciate you guys listening to the podcast every week. All right, what do the Redskins do internally? I think they go Bill Callahan or Matt Kavanaugh, and I don't think much changes with this offense. I think losing Sean is a blow because he was your game planner. He was watching 40 hours of defensive tape and then coming up with that perfect play on 3rd and 6 when he sees the right look on the deep shot to Sean. But offensively, fundamentally, I don't think much changes.
I don't think they have changed much offensively, to be totally honest with you. If they were to go and do it what they have in-house. Callahan is dead. Kavanaugh is dead. Joe. And then you look at Jay Gruden.
Right.
Jay Gruden.
That's the biggest key.
See, Jay is an offensive coach. He's been the coordinator. It's right. more or less his offense.
Yep.
Okay? I still believe Sean McVay becoming the play caller was more of a front office thing than it was a Jay's thing. I still believe
I think they needed to get some stuff off Jay's plate in game. I think that was
in
part of it.
In the first year.
Right. Do you have any idea? I'm sorry. Do you have any idea how many coaches are play callers currently in the NFL? Like, have you looked into that at all?
I have. The number's fairly small,
though. It's small.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I bet it's five or six, maybe.
I feel like that's a lot to ask of a guy who hasn't quite mastered the
time management.
That's what I'm saying. In his first year, I understand what was going on. But right now, when you have... We heard Jay say, Callahan does a run game. He's one run game coordinator. He put some stuff in, and then Sean was doing the passing game. I've never seen it be super successful.
There were a lot of cooks in that kitchen.
And that's what I'm saying. So I think if you get it down a little bit, they could keep what they have and keep moving forward. What I'm concerned about, what the hell are they going to get on defense? Because that's where they change it up.
So Lynn goes to the Chargers.
Right. So now we know Anthony Lynn to the Chargers, which, if we are to believe the reports, and there's no reason not to, means Gus Bradley's going with him as DC to, well, I guess it's not San Diego anymore. I guess it's now L.A. So
Greg Olson for OC.
Yeah, I just saw that.
What Greg Olson?
So the podcast listeners know, we're also doing a Facebook Live on B. Mitch's Facebook page, and somebody just said Greg Olson for offensive coordinator, which the only Greg Olson I can think of is the tight end for the Panthers.
He's still playing.
Right, he's not.
I mean.
And he's making more than 2.5, so he's not giving that up. All right, but if Gus Bradley goes to the Chargers, you're starting to run a little bit low on options.
Yeah.
Unless Mike Pettine's the guy. Now, we believe Wade Phillips is coming in for an interview, but there was also talk of Sean McVay, Wade Phillips is his first pick.
Yeah, and I will believe that if Sean McVay takes the job, Wade's his first pick, Wade's son may be the OC.
I believe it, and you've got to think.
But then he talked with Greg Wynuski as well.
But you've also got to think, if the Rams are rolling the dice so much on Sean McVay, who's so young, that, hey, we balance that out with a very established D coordinator, Wade Phillips, who's 70 years old. I'm guessing he's around 70. You know, I mean, that kind of just makes sense.
It makes sense. And then, calling the offense and running the football team is totally different. But if he can get somebody that comes in who says, I got the defense, you handle the offense, that could be a big load off his back.
Totally.
Now, question, is Sean going to be calling the plays?
He's going to want to.
What I've seen happen with the Redskins, and if you look at the Rams, you know that they want you win or you lose out. When you hire people to do what they do well, and then when they get there, you don't let them do it. See, the NFL has become this CEO type mindset.
Right, 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 right.
So, but still, you know, I wonder with that with them. But going back. Going back to the defense, they got to figure out something quickly on it. They can wait on the offense thing.
Right.
The defensive thing, they got to correct that or they're going to have problems.
I totally agree with you. And I think the offense, well, the big caveat is we're all kind of assuming Kirk comes back, right? Because if Kirk doesn't come back, then you're talking about an offensive overhaul, major changes. Mm-hmm. Just a change of quarterback of that magnitude is a big deal. But for conversation's sake, assuming Kirk is back, I think you can expect a similarly successful offense, at least moving the ball. Now, we don't know what's going to happen at receiver. That could have a big impact, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen at running back. That could have a big... I mean, they have to figure out, too, with Sean going now, what their identity is. And if it's Jay calling the plays, because you figure at least one of those receivers is... Deshaun's not coming back.
I'd be surprised if Deshaun's back.
Right? Right? 50-50 on Pierre, I would probably say.
I think it's going to come down to money, Pierre. Right,
so
right.
If he gets an offer, he could go. If not, he could stay. So here's the weird thing about the Kirk Cousins thing, right? So they've been... Scott McLuhan built a team when the day he got hired. We're going to win up front. We're going to pound the ball. And Jay and Sean were throwing 50 times a game, put it on Kirk, and now there's like, well, we're not sold on Kirk. Okay, well, you just handed him the keys to the franchise for 2 years running, and he did everything you asked. Mm-hmm. So if they are gonna bring Kirk back, I'm not sold on Rob Kelly yet. Sure not sold on Matt Jones yet. So, you know, it's not just, okay, who's gonna be the receivers there? Are they going to bring in a running back that they're going to – are they going to commit to the run? Like, if Bill Callahan gets the job, does this mean they're going to be more balanced. I mean,
no,
they, there's
Callahan
a lot of
Dallas. He all he did was throw.
But they, right,
and
so
Dallas,
right,
all he did was
right.
Throw.
He
so
went to Nebraska and scrapped
everything. Right, right. So they have to figure out who they are and what they want to be, and where is Scott McLuhan's influence? Where is Jay's influence? And where is this new OC's influence?
You're right. I think this team.
By the way, Craig Belsinger on your Facebook live, Chick Hernandez for Waterboy. So that was
I don't know if he'll get there in time. He's a little slow. But the thing about it is this. Every Friday we talk to Jay.
Right.
And he spoke, we got to throw the ball, run the ball more. We got to run the ball, got to run. But he wouldn't call him the plays. You know, you and I can put in the offense and we put it in together. I have my mindset, you have yours. So once you get into rhythm, you're not going to be able to pull what I want. And I think that's the issue. When one coach decides what he likes and he just thinks somebody else is going to run it based on what he says, he's fooling himself. You know, I would say, Jay, you've been around now 3 years, call the plays.
Yeah, well then.
You get a better feel for the game when you call the plays.
Well, then I wonder if you don't need somebody helping him in areas where he's struggled late in halves and games.
Get you a time management coach?
Right. I mean, I know Sheehan's been yelling about that.
That's the job you
need. Yeah, you need to. I'll take that job.
That's a job.
Oh, yeah. I have to show up on Sundays and
time management doesn't pay $2.5 a year.
I'll take the get back coach. I don't want to be the get back coach. Get back. I'll do that for whatever money they're offering.
Remember, there used to be a wire guy? Now everything's wireless. They don't need the wire guy anymore. I have heard from folks that I trust the Skins will absolutely look to go D-line first round.
They should.
They have to, right? Have
to. Go to Alabama.
Well, the thing is, most of those Bama kids won't be there. Of the real high-impact guys you're thinking of, Reuben Foster, Jonathan Allen, those guys, I don't think they get to 17.
That's true. But that game, that they can get what they need from that championship game. Clemson has some bad boys, too.
Yeah.
Okay. If they go and draft anybody of a skill position, I already question a lot of this Scott McLuhan love. I already question a lot of that, and you know it. Okay? Everybody, he ain't put nothing together by himself. He had a lot of help when things were going on. If he draft another skill position high, then I'm going to completely forget about all of it.
So the kid,
you can't win
Mike
without
Wallace,
the big guys.
Is there at 17. That Clemson kid that just caught everything.
He drafted and I got a problem with it.
Yeah,
why draft Mike Wallace?
I'm not suggesting he will.
Why draft
or
Mike Wallace if I put Rob at center and put you at the running back? Hell, you'll run for 100 yards on the defense.
Wait, me and I'm the running back or he's the running back?
I'm saying he'll be the center. Either way,
I got lateral quick, so as long as I'm the running back, I'm cool.
Dude, listen.
I'm more of a Le'Veon Bell. I'm going to patiently wait for
it. We had no consistent pass rush. We had no consistent run stoppage. You go and you draft a receiver or a DB first, and something is terribly wrong with your mindset.
I don't. You know what? If they take a DB first, if there's a – if the kid – a Dory Jackson, the USC kid. If he's there at 17 and you take a really good corner, I don't think that's a terrible pick.
A really good corner when a quarterback has 5-6 seconds to throw the ball is a bad
They've
corner.
Also got a lot of picks. They got nine picks.
Right. I mean, let's not just say you have to get D-line because if there's a run on D-line and all of a sudden you look up and you're not getting a value, you're getting a second-round D-lineman.
Get a D-line or a linebacker. First of all, we already there. We don't know if they're gonna run a 3-4 or 4-3.
So, dude,
high defensive coordinator.
I've been wanting to talk to you about this officially because you and I had this conversation in August. I don't know if you remember this. People get way too worked up about the 4-3 or the 3-4 when they play nickel 70% of the time.
And has it helped them?
Has what helped them?
The nickel.
But the NFL is a passing league. You have to have more corners.
It's a
out
passing there. League. That sounds great. But they're running a 4-3, okay? With two outside linebackers with their hands in the dirt, okay? Then they have the linebackers. The three linebackers are not of a 4-3 caliber, to be totally honest with you. And in the 3-4, Ryan gets sacks, but is he like a Von Miller or just a little bit step below where he's consistently
those guys
that?
Cannot contain.
They
the
can't
outside
cover.
Linebackers do
so
not contain.
So therefore, you have to figure out what you're running, which may be the 4-3, may be better. Get something bigger inside, get some better athletic linebackers, and then you move forward.
Well, the whole thing is, though, you know, that defense is so far away from being ready. Like, that's
especially for the 3-4.
Look,
either way,
they're closer to a 4-3 than they are to a 3-4.
Because they have guys that can put it both the ends.
They don't have a nose guard.
Right. True. But again, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with Chris Baker, and we don't know who's going to be back in the lineup next year. But they are, like you said, Will Compton's a really good, hardworking player. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're winning big with Will Compton. Mason Foster's a great story and is a hardworking player. I don't know if you're winning big. So you need depth, if not starting middle linebackers. You need depth, if not starting up front. You definitely need two safeties. Mm-hmm. You probably need at least one more corner to, if nothing else, push Bashaud, if not mm-hmm. start over Bashaud. So you're talking about three-quarters of your defense that you want to upgrade for next year.
That's the thing. I mean, you're talking about six starters. Right. And you're not going to get six starters.
You're not getting six starters.
And I think I've said this over. This guy Carver, I think his last name was, he said, build up and up front.
Larry Carver. See, build up front on both lines.
This is what people don't get. If you build up front and you can get more pressure on the quarterback and you can stop the run, your average quarterback's beginning to look better than average. I'll take you all back to the Super Bowl where the Giants beat the Patriots when they were 18-0. That team right there, the Giants, their secondary was horrible.
That D-line
whipped offensive lines butt all week, every week. And Breland, even in his bad year, he had this year, is better than those corners that they had there. Okay, if you're constantly getting to the quarterback, people can build up what you want back there. If a receiver knows where you're going, you can't get pressure on the quarterback, that defensive backfield will lose.
Right, yeah, and you see it. I mean, even a guy as good as Josh Norman is going to get beat when a QB can sit back there four or five seconds.
If they get better and you, up front, they can make the other guys look a little better.
We're also talking only draft. They've got a ton of cap money.
No, I'm not talking about just draft. I'm talking about they better go get some people.
Right. What they need to do is spend wisely. So there's not been the history of the Redskins to spend wisely. Mm-hmm. But what the Giants did was they brought Snacks Harrison, who's, you know, he's probably overpaid, but they brought a lineman. They brought a line. They went all three levels.
Yeah. And so the Giants got the development of Landon Collins, which is hard to understate.
True. Sure. Yeah. But again, what they did was they didn't throw $150 million at one guy.
Right.
They spread it out and got you. Now, Janoris Jenkins, is he as good as he probably showed
most
of the year?
They spent $200 million on their guys that they got.
Right, but they spread, but it was spread throughout the defense. Right. So they got three starters out of that.
But that's what I'm saying. And then the Skins got to do something like that. But I don't think they have to worry more. That's all they have to do. They do it from up front, moving back. If they get a better pass rusher and a guy in the middle who can take on two people, who can command that double team, all of a sudden, even the linebackers they got right now look a lot better.
Lorraine Beebe just said, where'd it go here? Calais Campbell and Dontari Poe.
So
I'll tell you one of them. Because Calais Campbell, wasn't that the guy that was whipping our tail consistently?
He dominated.
He destroyed us.
But I believe he's also at least 30 and maybe older. And I think
D-linemen can play at that age. Big boys in the middle can play at that age. See, that day of 30 years old, that's gone.
But what I think is that McLuhan is going to sign guys, but it's Calais Campbell and Dontari Poe are probably the top two names on that D-line free agent list. I think
get one of them.
I think where McLuhan can strike is get 5 and 6 and then be able to get a third and fourth linebacker and go almost for more depth. You know what I mean?
I hate you.
Like the name I've been saying a lot is John Hankins on the Giants, who was a second-round pick out of Ohio State, killed it his second year, got injured his third year. This year, back his fourth year, he was pretty good. I think that's a guy you can maybe get a bargain on because he's not coming off the best season, and then you can still get.
I like that move when you already have a legitimate defense.
That's true.
But when you're looking for
people, they're not going to fix all their problems.
No, you're not going to fix all of them, but still, I don't want to go get guys that are basic projects. You know,
I hear you. I think what they did
this team,
year,
they're not gonna fix all their problems, but if they fix the right problems, like the guys say, both front, if you got dominant O line, dominant, like every year we talk about, every week we talk about all kind of different things when it comes down to a football game. But ultimately it comes down to the battle at the line of scrimmage. Whoever wins that normally wins the football game.
Well, and
we don't normally win that.
You think about, so Rich Chandler and I are doing a series for our website where we're doing our top 10 best plays of the season and our top 10 worst plays of the season. Mm-hmm. And there's been plenty of both, but the play that stands out to me as the ultimate disrespect to this defense was fourth and short in Arizona on their own 35 mm-hmm. in a one-score game.
Yeah.
Never thought twice, went for it, he got 14 yards.
See, that right there?
You need somebody that can stop that.
That right there to me tells me the focus better be on the D-line.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
We've had multiple teams.
And I've heard it is.
Multiple teams this year, fourth and one, third and one, didn't even think about it, go. Because they knew they couldn't stop them.
Look, it comes down to, if we're talking about the draft, you know, someone put on here, Bernie Deal, I think, put on here, if Ohio State free safety Malik Hooker can be gotten at 17. You know, they need guys. So if Hooker's there, and, you know, you're not going to pass on what could be a, you know, great talent at safety because mm-hmm. there's so many. Yes, they have to build up defensive line, but you can get a game-changing defensive lineman in the second round. You can't. They've still got to be smart. They still got to draft well. Mm-hmm. They got to draft for multiple positions, but it's got to be defensive based. If they pull the best player available said that the Josh Doctson was the top player on my board,
I knew
well then avoid change your board.
So
what about the left guard? Yeah. He should be gone.
You got
to
hope.
But to Scott's credit, he got the right guard, who's a Pro Bowler now.
No, I'm with that.
But you got to think. Quandro gets a chance at that, and that's how it should work. That you develop those guys.
Yeah.
So, I don't know that Ari can keep that, but
I think Rob is right on the fact.
All right, I'm out of here.
Happy birthday.
When you said, listen, this is the thing. Scott is coming here and he put this mindset about draft. Let me tell you one thing. You don't build a damn team out the draft and get where you got to go when you want to get there. If you keep drafting every year, okay, and don't have some people that already are there. Like, when I got here with the Redskins, they had guys that were in their fifth year that was playing great. They brought in me and Andre Collins that we played that year. You had other guys in their 8th, 9th, 10th year that were damn good. You got to have a balance of people. Everybody talk about youth. I've never seen an all-young football team win nothing.
No, but the Redskins are almost at a point of, as of 2 years ago, we're almost at a point of starting over, though. So, like, they're, because the colossally bad embarrassments of the Redskins for the last 10 to 25 years.
I think the last 2 years is not anything close to like what it used to
be. Totally agree. That's my point.
So they were starting 2 years ago at almost ground zero. So you know, when you start saying like, so like you're, to JP's point is, now you're hoping Quanjo in year, what, 3 or 4, starts to become your left guard. And Sheriff is now your Pro Bowl right guard. And Trent is a – so now all of a sudden and Morgan Moses has developed into a starter.
Spencer Long.
So now all of a sudden your drafts of the last couple of years have built your offensive line.
The draft helps you there, but you need
Jordan
somebody
Reed,
until
Kirk
they,
Cousins,
your draft, you
Josh
need
Doctson,
somebody
hopefully.
There until they get there.
But they were the starting from ground. So Josh Norman is now that.
Yeah.
So now you got to start bringing in. So now this is going to be a big offseason for bringing in a couple of free agents who are smart free agents. But I think what they have here, and yes, your generation. But if you look at what the Ravens did, and I covered the Ravens for a long time. The crux of both of their Super Bowls were the drafts that developed over years. You brought in one piece here, one piece there, but it was all those guys that they drafted and developed and let some guys walk, and a new guy developed and came in, and that's what they're trying to do. But they were starting from ground zero 2 years ago.
Yeah, but the thing about the Redskins is that just the coaches need to just believe their eye. They need to bring some damn, what is it, obstetrician? With the eyes.
Opticians?
Whatever the people.
I think
obstetrician's
like a lady doctor.
Well,
I don't know. Anyway.
Whatever. Whoever works with your eyes,
Facebook Live.
They need to bring somebody because they need to just believe their eyes. Sean LaVal finally told them he was injured. His play told me he was injured 5 games prior.
Right.
Okay?
That Cardinals game was unbelievable.
When big man on Moses, when he got injured, we could see that. You can see when Big Ty Ezekiel was hurt. They don't believe their eyes. Well, they're too busy trying to play who they like instead of giving people chances.
I'm going to counter you on Ty Nsekhe and Morgan Moses. Those guys were playing through injuries because Trent was suspended. If Trent wasn't suspended, that would have looked different because the drop-off after them was significant, man.
Playing through injury and being terrible. What was their
Vince didn't paint.
I understand their choice. I understand, but still.
I hear you about LaValle.
You got to figure out a way. When Ty Nsekhe, we know how good he was playing.
Optometrist.
We know how good Ty Nsekhe was playing. When he is all of a sudden now has made a 180, something's wrong.
Right.
Don't sit up here tomorrow. Don't ask a player any time. Yeah. Are you healthy?
An obstetrician, obstetrics is the field of study concentrated on pregnancy. So that's not what the Redskins need.
Oh, no. We know it's not what they need. I was just trying to figure it out.
Right, all right.
But they need to figure out how to see and develop talent. Like
I agree with you.
Draft and develop talent. What the hell did they really develop? Sheriff came in. I think Sheriff is that good.
Right, but Morgan Moses is turning into a starter. And
He started for two years.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. So three of your starters, and if Quanjo gets in, so four of your starters, and if Long's in, I'm not sold on Long, but
I think he's your answer. At least that's the consideration there is that he's the guy.
He certainly could be your stopgap answer.
I'm not worried about offense. I'm defense.
I'm with you.
They got to focus on defense first. Offense is damn near set.
Yeah.
Right.
Assuming Kirk stays.
I mean,
if they let him go, then they're stupid.
That's another hole.
The craziest thing to me, and Doc, when he filled in for you last week, went on a pretty opinionated.
Is that the bake sale tirade?
Yes. So we feel like we're getting.
I hear that every day on the radio.
But his point was Kirk didn't win. None of these guys won, so I ain't in love with any of them. Wait. So my point is, Redskins fans that are not sold on Cousins. There's a large part that are, but Redskins.
You should
fans,
see the comments on this Facebook Live.
The Redskins fans who say Kirk can't win us a Super Bowl, so you trust Colt McCoy to win you a Super Bowl? You're gonna Nate Sudfeld, or you're gonna bring in someone and hope that you draft someone. It's not like they're letting him go because, Aaron Rodgers is coming here.
Warrain Foster says, I'd rather have Sudfeld or McCoy than Cousins. Kirk needs to go.
Holy smokes.
You are incorrect, Warrain.
Warrain, thank you for
Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl.
I don't buy that. See,
I heard
somebody tell me about what Doc said, and I'll tell Doc like I tell him on the radio every day. Doc talked as if he and I, when nowadays we won every damn year. We didn't. Okay,
see, and it was a remarkable run.
I am to a mind where I know
you did it with three different
quarterbacks. Don't win when they don't have a lot of other stuff too. A lot of help here, a lot of help there. Okay, people always think that Tom Brady don't do it by himself. Right. As good as he is, he don't do it by himself.
Steven Stack just said, "What if we made a trade for Phillip Rivers? What are you trading?
You're gonna trade Phillip Rivers?
You're gonna let Cousins walk and then trade multiple first round picks?
He's almost
for a 30-something year old quarterback."
All right, we gotta wrap here in a second, but
Tony Romo.
Warrain Foster just said again.
What are we talking about?
Of Kirk, he chokes under the bright lights. JP, look at Dak Prescott. If he can do it, Sudfeld can do it.
Robert was Dak Prescott 3 years ago.
Hey, Dak
don't crown Dak Prescott.
Let me break it down for you again. Wasn't it Lorraine?
It's a guy. It's W.
Warrain.
It's Wayne with an R in there.
Whoever he is, if Kirk Cousins had the offensive line of Dallas, the Redskins would be playing for the Super Bowl this year.
I think they need defense. I think if this defense, instead of finishing 28th, 29th.
And a running back like Zeke.
Right, that would help.
Yeah.
But if this defense, so the Redskins defense of 2016 finished 28th, 29th, roughly, depending what metric you're looking at, right? If that defense finished 17th, I think they're still playing.
Yeah.
They were average.
The defense played some good games. They gave up too many third and eight or more for me to sit up here and people going
to
tell me about
the defense. Third and 18 to Matt Barkley.
Please, man.
That play will stay with me for life. Much like the Soldier Field press box serves RC Cola. When's the last time you saw RC Cola?
Mo Ahmad said I was dead wrong on what?
I don't know, man.
Please tell me, Mo.
All right. We are running out of time.
The bring Punk's back Alfred Morris.
Ah, jeez.
Okay.
All right. This is how. This is our get out question.
The problem with us is this. This is what I'm going to tell you about the problem in this area. We fall in love with people instead of falling in love with players. We like personalities. We like how people are. I give a damn about what they do on the football field.
Michael Grassen says, Kurt and Colt are the same under Gruden. Stop it. The offensive line is good. We need defense. Colt McCoy is...
Colt's guy's just put up almost 5,000 yards. Colt's arm
like a handful of guys in the history of the NFL
Colt,
have done that.
Colt and Colt three McCoy, touchdowns, three interceptions.
If they cut Colt today, how many teams are knocking on his door to be a starting quarterback?
Maybe two.
To be a starter?
Starter. Because that's what you're asking him to be if you let Kurt go.
If they cut Colt today, McVay would sign him in L.A. pretty darn quick.
Not to be, to be a backup.
He might be competing with Jared Goff.
No, he won't be.
Who knows? Anyway, all right. Podcast, we're going to end. I'm going to ask you guys this question.
Mm-hmm.
Redskins, it is January 11th?
12th.
January 12th. Right now for the Skins, are there more questions or answers?
Questions?
What's the biggest one?
The biggest question, who the hell is going to be the D coordinator? What defense you going to run? That's the biggest question.
Carlin?
There are more answers than there have been in the 5 years that I've been covering them, but a lot of questions. A lot of questions because this is the most stable I've seen it. So I know I'm straddling the fence, but this is by far the most stable I've seen it.
What is the biggest answer? What are you certain of with this team?
That they're moving in the right direction. That there's stability. Mm-hmm. That there's not a dumpster fire around every corner.
That there's not an anonymous source here
and an anonymous source there, and stories are coming out, and game day bombshells are happening.
Hey, that's for the guy that has to be out there every day, it's okay to have a few sources.
No. I'm talking about anonymous sources.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. So, of the certainties, give me specifics. Besides just not being a train wreck. Jay Gruden, I would say, is a certainty. He's got them going in the right direction.
I wouldn't say it's a certainty, but I feel fairly comfortable. I feel fairly comfortable with what the offense is doing.
I feel more comfortable with Jay Gruden than any other coach in the last 10, 12 years.
Agreed, but it's contingent on Cousins staying.
It's contingent on Cousins staying and them still committing to do things the right way. There's a fear that the big office all of a sudden says, hey, we're close. I'm going to go do something big.
We haven't seen that in a long time. We really haven't.
This is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So the questions are, can we fix this defense?
That's the biggest question.
Can we bring in the right coach and a couple of players that are going to fix this? Don't go spending on the biggest name. Bring me a couple of pieces that are going to fit in. Draft a couple more.
They need to do something by Monday.
Hey, look, Sue Cravens.
You're saying they need a coordinator by Monday.
They need a coordinator by Monday.
They're going to run out of options.
They're going to run out of options.
Unless it's Mike Pettine.
See, my thing is, don't settle. Go get. Okay?
There. All right.
Yeah, it sounds like they've tried to go get Gus Bradley. He has a choice to...
When you walk in and Gus Bradley tell you, I'm waiting to see what happens over here, bye.
Move on.
Focus on something else.
Right? Carlin, how do folks find you and follow you?
At Rob Carlin CSN on Twitter and watch me every night on Geico Sports Talk Live.
Look at that. How do people follow and find you?
B-Mitch Live CSN.
Any radio station.
You can hit me on Twitter. You can get me on ESPN 980 from 1 to 4 with Doc Walker. And you can see me.
Scott Jackson doesn't get any love in the radio plug?
Doc and Scott.
All right. Jackson's my guy.
Yeah, I call him Andy Murphy. He calls me Scott Jackson almost every day.
Folks, you can find me, JP Finley.
We all look alike.
That's messed up.
No, your head's too small. Scott has two of your.
All right.
Your head, two of Scott.
Now we officially are ending this. Thank you guys for tuning in to Redskins Talk the Podcast. We will talk soon.
I owe you a beer.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.